Well, here we are. This is the Free Stretch. I am Bobby Fenton. As we do every week, coming to you here on JoeBucksFan.com. We post on Thursdays. And every Thursday for the past month now, really 5 weeks, we've come in here feeling not so great about what happened to the football team in the week prior. I have to be honest with you and tell you now that this is the first time, even of all those weeks, that not only do I not feel great about what happened this past weekend, which again has happened 5 podcasts in a row now, but I no longer feel all that great about what's going to happen coming up. And that I wouldn't have said the prior times. Because up until this past Sunday, when the Bucks took on Carolina, and I'm an upbeat guy, I'm a positive guy. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that by now. I'm always going to look for reasons to be excited about something, because I like being excited about things. I'm always going to look for the different avenues there are to success. I always like to call myself Garmin. I know it's stupid, just follow me on it, though. You ever have, and you know, now everybody's got it on their phone, we don't need those little in-car apps anymore, but you know how in these navigation apps, whether it's Google Maps or the old Garmin or any of those, it gives you the most direct route to your goal. Whatever you put in there gives you the route. And what does it do every time you take a wrong turn? Like, let's say you don't follow the path it gave you. Every time you take a wrong turn, what do those things do? In a matter of seconds, not even that, in a matter of 1 or 2 seconds, recalculates, right? It immediately forgets all about the wrong turn. All right, don't worry about that. From where we are right now, from our new spot, forget about the old path, from our new spot right now. Now here, Bobby, here's the new most direct route to success, your goal, whatever it is. And you can make 15 wrong turns, and it'll keep recalculating, and it'll always give you the best possible outlook going forward about how to get where you want to get to the fastest. And that's what I pride myself on. I've always tried to live my life like a navigational app. Okay, here's the way we're supposed to go. Oh, damn, we missed a turn. This is a problem. Nope, but from right now, from where we are now, forget about what happened. From here on out, here's the best route now. Over and over again, your whole life. I mean, that's really how we should all try and live our lives, right? So I'm that guy. I mean, every week the Bucks come in here and they lose, and something doesn't go right, and it's been anything under the sun. I mean, I'd love to blame the terrible defense, but there's been times like this past weekend when the defense wasn't actually the problem. This time it was the offense, which is what we thought we could rely on. It's been the kicking game. It's been everything at one time or another. They can't put a complete game together, much less the 9 or 10 you need to get even close to playoff consideration. So every time that happens, okay, well, what do we do now? Okay, well, hey, you know, no big deal. Lost to the Patriots. Hey, defense played great, though. Good job by them. All right, what do we do going forward here? Oh, man, Arizona, that was really bad. Wow. Just top to bottom. But hey, offense picked it up in the second half. They scored over 30 points in one half. Okay, here we go. Let's get ready. Let's go again. Oh, no. Oh, now this time the defense got lit up again. Now this time the offense couldn't score against Carolina and never gave them a chance to be in the game, even though the defense somehow stood up for a little while. Always something. And I'm tired of being Garmin now, man. I really am. Because we've gotten to the point. And again, I'll say it again, 5 weeks in a row we've come in here unhappy about last week's game. This is the first of those weeks I'm unhappy about next week's game. It hasn't even been played yet. And I think the Bucks are going to win, I really do. But again, I've been beaten over the head several times thinking the Bucks are going to win. And I want to have that thrown back in my face by this team. And I'm not resentful of that because I don't care about being right or wrong. I'm never going to resent the Bucks for making me right or wrong. I'm going to resent them for their effort or for not living up to what they should be. And I can tell you this right now. In my wildest dreams, and maybe I'm naive. In fact, we'll talk about our naivete a little bit here on the podcast today. But in my wildest dreams, if you go back to August when we were going through the preseason, and maybe we should have seen the signs because this team was not good in the preseason either. And I'm talking about the people that mattered weren't good in the preseason. But if you had told me back then we'd be 2-5, like the Bucks are going to be 2-5, I mean, listen. Being a sports fan is all about getting your hopes up and not having them matched by what actually happens in reality. That's being a sports fan for everybody. With rare exceptions, like if you're a Patriots person, and I mean a legitimate Patriots fan, you know, and even those people, if you go back 15 years or 20 years, you know, it was like that for them too. Because you always think you have a chance, and look, there's 32 teams. I mean, only a handful of them are going to have good seasons, like win a playoff game type seasons. Only one of them is going to actually win all the playoff games. But some teams seem to disappoint more annually than others. And as a Bucks fan, maybe I should be used to it by now. After all, it was my entire childhood. And then things brightened up from a period of about 1997 to 2005-ish. And you know what? The last 10 years, again, just like I talked about last week, and why people are unhappy, the biggest reason is there's no memories. Nothing stands out. The last 10 years of this franchise have just been one consistently boring and ultimately unfulfilling blur. And I really thought 2017 wasn't going to be like that. Not that I thought the Super Bowl was going to happen or something. But man, we were poised, and here we are now, 2-5, and I'm not done with it. Listen, I'll never be done with it. The Bucks could be 0-7, much less 2-5. I'm going to watch every game. I tell you this, I told you this the first show I did. I haven't missed a Bucks game, whether it be in person or watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio during the blackout days, going back to when I was a kid, or listening to it on my phone on an app when I've been at it. I've been out on the other side of the country during Bucks games and pulled up my phone app and listen to it that way. But I've never been out of touch with a Bucks game. The Bucks have never been playing ever in my lifetime since the 80s without me being in contact with that game in some way, shape, or form. And that will never change, okay? I promise you that'll never change. So I'm not going anywhere, but even up before last week's game against Carolina, I didn't want to admit to myself that this team didn't have it. You know how fine the line is. We talk about that all the time on this podcast. Hey, a play here, a play there. That's the difference between 10-6 and 6-10. There's not that much difference between these teams. With the save for a couple at the top and a couple at the bottom, like the Niners and the Browns, everybody else is really close. I mean, they really are in the NFL. And I was thinking, okay, well, the Bucs can still, you know, they just got to have a couple close ones swing their way. At 2-5 now, mathematically, yeah, teams have run off 8 out of 9 or what have you. Sure, they could go 7-2 in their final 9. I mean, that's not mathematically unheard of, but I guess what I'm trying to say, I'm rambling a little bit, but what I'm trying to say is I'm more disappointed in this team, in this organization, than I have been in a long time. I was listening to the Bucks Uncensored, to Justin's podcast. I love Justin's podcast. We had a great lineup of podcasts. Love, you know, Jeff Cameron, love Ira, love Justin. I mean, we had a great line, but Justin was saying how this fan base has been ready to explode. And he's right. I mean, I compared this offseason to the pre-1997 offseason about how the Bucks had been bad for a while, but that year, that, you know, after that 1996 season ended, that whole year in between that offseason, people really thought, hey, I know we always say this, but this time I really mean it. Like, I really think they're going to be good. I remember feeling that way, and it paid off. And I think this fan base was that way again this year. I think people said, hey, we got a quarterback entering his third year, ready to make a big step forward. We saw a defense that was actually pretty decent last year, returning people. And maybe, again, this is what I referenced about our being naive. Maybe we should have asked ourselves, who are our corners? Who is our secondary? Who is our pass rush? Because Brent Grimes, he's okay. First of all, he's hard for him to stay healthy, which, again, he hasn't been practicing this week. Robert McClain, most Bucks fans that are, you know, any level of casual or below probably wouldn't recognize him if he walked by him in the street. Hargraves played better this week. To his credit, played better on Sunday, but on the whole, has not been good this season. Maybe these are questions we would have asked ourselves. Maybe we should have asked, where's our pass rush coming from? You know, Noah Spence is one guy. He's hurt. He's out. And you got to have injuries. It's always going to happen. But maybe we should have said, you know, who besides Noah Spence, where are we going to get our pressure from? Where's our stud guys on the edge? You know, McCoy's been fine, okay? I know people, we talked about McCoy last week, and McCoy ain't the problem. But maybe we should have asked ourselves where all this stuff that we were dreaming about was going to actually come from. And our front seven's been getting pressure, just not getting actual sacks. Part of that's an inability to finish. Part of that also might just be because our secondary sucks. And you run at a guy and hurry him up, and boom, he finds somebody to throw it to. Point is, maybe there were a lot of questions we should have asked ourselves that we didn't, or maybe questions that we answered ourselves not quite as honestly as we should have. And I'm talking about the entire season right now. I'm not just talking about Carolina. In fact, the defense with Carolina did its job. And it goes back to, again, not ever having both units, or even the special teams, even if you want to count it as three units, having them all actually play well at the same time. Because if you want to go on overall season ratings and, you know, DVOA like Football Outsiders does, and I enjoy Football Outsiders' work, Bucks defense has been atrocious. Offense has been pretty good. But you have to look at it more closely. Offense has been pretty good overall, but they also put us behind the eight ball every single week. No points in the first half this week. You know, every week it's 0-3, 6-0. Furious comeback, although this time they went ahead and conveniently left out the furious comeback part and just did nothing the entire game. So it's upsetting, it's frustrating. And you look at our defense, and it's not even that just, oh, they just came up short in a few plays, they just didn't make a big play in the red zone. I mean, that's definitely been part of it too, but they're physically being beaten. I mean, they're just physically being beaten. They're not nasty. No one's afraid of them. I mean, no matter what you want to say about any individual player or who we have this and then we have that, unless you have just a badass, just gnarly-ass pass rush where every time a guy drops back. I mean, remember the old Bucks defenses? Remember, and when I say old, it wasn't that long ago, but the Bucks defenses of yesterday. And remember, every time the opposing quarterback would drop back, you'd be excited. Like, oh, man, what's going to happen here? Pick, you think? Maybe a sack? How about a sack fumble? It was all on the table. And now every time the opposing quarterback drops back, I just kind of wince. I do that thing where you cover your eyes with your hands and then you make a little crack in your fingers so you can see through them. And I'm like, oh, God, he's gonna throw some dart right here to somebody, you know. But all the different levels of disappointment, basically what I'm getting at is this team pretty evidently doesn't have it. And I keep going back to the well and back to the well and back to the well. I think they're going to beat New Orleans this week. And you know what I'm basing that on, by the way? I'm done even basing anything on X's and O's, because in the NFL, none of it makes sense. You know, you look at players, these guys don't look very good. These guys look pretty good. Then they play each other, and the guys that didn't look very good the last week whip the other one's ass. So that's not what I'm basing it on. You know, looking at the Saints and looking at the Bucks, quite honestly, I'm going rudimentary here. Saints have won too many games in a row, and the Bucks have lost too many games in a row. That feels like a correction getting ready to happen. So I'll be on the Bucks again this weekend. And maybe I don't know what they're going to do, but the point is, and I'm a Gator fan, by the way, University of Florida alum, so I'm already pretty jaded. Because, I mean, I never could remember having both my teams be down at the same time so often. I mean, every football season now, it just seems, and I'm not trying to cry poor or anything here. I've had plenty of good times, too, as a sports fan. But, man, football season comes along, and you look forward to it all year long and all year long, and you get so excited. And it's just such a sliver of time, you know? Baseball season, 6 months, 7 months. You never, at the end of baseball season, think, oh, man, wow, it's just going to be a few more months and we're back. You're usually pretty baseballed out. I mean, last night was Game 7 of the World Series, and the Game 7 itself wasn't that great, but it was a fantastic World Series, great postseason, lots of drama, and I love baseball. Now that it's over, you know, I'm good for a few months. Football season, every time it comes around New Year's or whenever my teams play their final game or the Super Bowl or whoever it is, I start to get emotional, I start to get a little bit sad. Even as the playoffs are going on, which is the best time of year, I'm thinking to myself, oh man, there's only 8 games left. Oh, now there's only the conference championship weekend. Hey, we got 3 actual football games left. Super Bowl, just 1 game left. I think about that. I really do truly mourn the loss of football, even before it's happened. And then when the offseason comes, I mean, just seeing like ESPN.com update the schedules from last year's final scores to the new upcoming schedules, which they usually do sometime in like March or something. It's like someone lighting a fire in the middle of a cold, cold, damp, desolate, dark night in some faraway, barren place. That's what it feels like. And so then when it finally happens and your teams do this to you, it's a real bummer. Let's just put it that way. It's a real bummer. And I'm not giving up. I'm not saying the Bucks can't do anything, but my expectations have now been sufficiently adjusted. And I'll tell you something else, speaking of expectations being adjusted. Dirk Cutter's on my last nerve, too. You know, it's one thing for the defense to be bad. Although, as the head coach, you're in charge of everything, obviously. But Dirk Cutter's an offensive guy, and this whole thing was supposed to turn around. And it ain't his first year anymore, or even his second year anymore. And here we are. And Jameis has done okay. I mean, Jameis is not having a bad year. In fact, if you ask for the team MVP through, you know, seven games, it's him. And I know he had the shoulder injury and everything this past weekend. I mean, I'm not going to go nuts on one game. But overall, you know, you get DeSean Jackson in the offseason. You get O.J. Howard and the draft falls in your lap. Already had Mike Evans, Doug Martin coming back. And you're thinking, right on, here we go. And we get the ball fourth and two at the other team's 40-yard line, and we're punting. Which Dirk Cutter still does. That is his, I mean, there's a lot of flaws, but this isn't even like a philosophical thing. Like, it is mathematically proven that you are wrong when you punt from the other team's side of the field on fourth and short. If it's, you know, at a holding call or something, it's fourth and 15 and it's too long for a field goal. All right, maybe try to pin him inside the five. Fine. Fourth and two, and he's punting. And he does that. And that's, again, that's a concrete black and white thing I'm pointing to. Never mind the overall underperformance of the offense. Now, I'm starting to have serious questions about this regime now. And I know Joe likes to do on the website the confidence poll every week. Are you extremely confident, somewhat confident, not confident, incredibly unconfident in the current situation with the head coach? You know, he does it every week, puts it up. As you imagine, it's very, very, let me just say it, it's a high variance type of poll. Bucks win, you come in, oh yeah, Dirk Cutter's great. The next week, oh God, their bums fire. You know, that's normal fan behavior. That's how fans are. But I have to say now, and what I'm able to imagine, the very narrow dimensions of my imagination are hardly a barometer for how things are in the real world, but one of the ways I always look at a head coach, you know, can you imagine one day getting ready for an NFC Championship game or getting ready for a Super Bowl or even possibly this coach standing on that podium with Jim Nance or somebody with that, you know, weird grin he has when he's presenting the trophy, handing Dirk Cutter the trophy and raising it above his head, and Jason Light's up there, and the Glazer sons. Can you imagine that? I honestly can't imagine that. I cannot imagine that with this group. And I'm not saying fire Dirk Cutter or anything like that, but I have a feeling that's a road we're going to be set to go down, if not toward the end of this season, the next season. And by a road where you're set to go down, I mean we're going to be talking about it. I'm not predicting anything happening right now. And then, oh, whoa, a revolving door of coaches is not the answer either. You know, guess what? Same result, different coach. You know, I get all that, okay? There's two schools of thought. You know, should we stick with it? We've had, you know, three or four head coaches in the past 12 years that were here for two, 3 years at a time, and that's it. You know, some just 2 year. I mean, Lovie Smith, you know, I get that, but you either have the guy or you don't. If you don't, you need to keep looking until you have him. And it's hard. I mean, there's only a handful of people that are that guy. It's not like everybody else in the league has him either. But at the same time, if you don't have him, you're not proving a point about stability and consistency just by keeping him. That's Jeff Fisher. So I'm starting to lose patience there. I was impressed with my Gators, who moved a lot more quickly than I thought they would have on Jim McElwain. And again, I'm not predicting anything that the Bucks will do right now, but I am predicting that it will be more and more of a topic, and maybe even justifiably. And again, I mean, just think about coming into this Carolina game where this team was. You're 2-4, all right? You're starting to get a little bit desperate, right? I mean, 2-4 is one thing, but 3-4, okay. You're playing your first division game. You know, you haven't played any division games yet. You got Carolina coming into your house. They looked terrible the week before, losing to the Bears and getting thumped by the Bears, which is a team whose ass you personally kicked in your first game. So you'd think, you know, no matter what, win, lose, or draw, hell or high water, you're going to come out with some life. You're going to come out with some fire. I hate all the cliche terms just like everybody else. Oh, they need more fire. They didn't come out with any motivation. You know, I know they tried. I mean, they went out and played and they didn't win. But, I mean, just the flatness, the inability to perform. I know it was a windy day. I know Jameis' shoulder was hurting. It wasn't ideal conditions even at home. But look around that field, first of all, and it looked like nobody gave a crap. If you were at the stadium, I mean, that place had zero energy. The place was a mausoleum, and I'm not blaming the fans for that at all, because how could you be excited? You know, you try and get excited, you go to the game, you get to your seat, game starts, and literally nothing happens for 3 hours. I mean, literally nothing. Just like literally nothing has happened for a decade. And when will that be? When will that be again when you wake up on a Sunday morning of a Bucks game and you're already like, oh man, you know, you get that little tingle, that little hop in your step when you get out of bed. That's what it used to be like. And I don't know about you, but now I'm just like, okay, yeah, 1 o'clock Bucks game. And I guess the players are like that too. And again, they're professionals. It's not Dirk Cutter's job to be a rah-rah guy and quote-unquote get people pumped up. But it is a coach's job, of course, to have your team ready to play and to know basic football strategy. And neither of those things seems to be happening right now. And it is a GM's job to assemble a team with the personnel to do that. And the Buccaneers have not done that yet either. At least on offense, it seemed like they did. I mean, I'm not going to blame Jason Light. I mean, he did, you know, I would have signed DeSean Jackson. I would have drafted O.J. Howard. Those are good things. And O.J. Howard's doing great. You know, Jameis Winston, that's who I wanted when they were able to draft him over Mariota. But for whatever reason, like always, it seems like this organization can't put it together. And it's just been a really, really disappointing, again, week. It's been a disappointing season so far, and we're not even in the second half yet. I'm already talking like this, which is depressing, too. It's been a disappointing tenure for Coach Dirk Cutter so far, and honestly, it's been a pretty disappointing decade. I mean, Adell Shepard dropping that ball in the back of the end zone after he hit the ground in the 2005 playoff game in the Redskins is really and truly the last time I felt something. Yeah, 2007, they made the playoffs, 2 losses to the Giants in the first round at home. Haven't been in the playoffs since. 2010 was fun. Josh Freeman taking them to a 10-6 record. They missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Those were some exciting times. But honestly, when's the last time you felt anything? Like, felt? I want to feel that fire in my belly again. I haven't felt anything in a long time. And I don't feel anything now. I'm pissed off. So that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. And despite all the negativity, again, oh, one other stat. I forgot to mention this stat. And again, this is the fine line. Holding teams under 20 points. Yeah, our defense sucks, but at the very least, the games they do play well and hold somebody under 20 points, we're going to win those, right? Right? Well, that's happened 3 times now so far, including this past weekend. The Patriots game, the Bears game, and this game. Bucks are 1-2 when they hold opponents to under 20 points. I don't know. Your defense isn't that great. Fine, you're going to take some lumps. Some days you're going to give up 35, 40 points and lose a shootout. But you're 1-2 in the games where they actually didn't trip over their own dick? Excuse my language. I try to treat the podcast just like a radio show, but sometimes I do take a liberty. But seriously, that's at the very least, you should be 2-1. If not 3-0 in those games. And that's two wins. That's 4-3 versus 2-5 right there. Right there. It wouldn't bother me at all right now. It really would not bother. And they're not doing this. I'm not even saying they should do it. I'm just saying it wouldn't bother me right now if they said, you know what, we're just putting Jameis on IR. Let's just get his shoulder right. I'll see you in 2018. Seriously. I'm not trying to depress you. Listen, it sounds like I'm trying to depress you on this podcast and tell you to get the hell out of here. Stop listening to me. Stop reading Joe Bucks fans. Stop watching the Bucks. That's what it sounds like I'm probably telling you, and I'm not. But you guys are my outlet. I mean, having this podcast is good for lots of things, but the thing I miss the most about having a radio show, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I loved going in there every day. I loved taking calls, talking to fans. I loved being a part of it on the weekends with my media pass, going into the press box. All right. You know, I love all that stuff, but the thing I really missed about the most is having the outlet, having something to say. We all sit around and watch the games. Maybe we sit with our buddies, or maybe we sit with our spouses or significant others or whatever it is, and you say it to them. But I love knowing on Monday morning I was going to have a microphone in front of me. I was going to be able to go out there and talk about all this stuff with everybody. And whatever I thought, whatever my observation of the game was, I could share it with people. And you, I lost that when I stopped doing radio. You lose that. So when the Joes asked me to do a podcast, I was thrilled for a lot of reasons. But one was, hey, I get to go on and say this stuff now again, and people are maybe going to listen. I don't know how many will, but that's not the point. The point is I have a microphone. Having a microphone is really cool. It's probably the coolest part about radio. You got a microphone. You go say it. Other people might want to say stuff too, but you got a microphone to say it into. And so this is what I wanted to say to you guys this week. But I will also say this to you, all right, in closing. Like I was talking about before, this isn't baseball. Oh, God, there's 100 games left. Screw it. I don't want to slog through this. I'm done. Or even hockey or the NBA. This is football. It is a precious, I firmly believe this. As a sports fan, if you like football, it's a precious, precious gift that you get on only a few days of the year. There's 365 days in a year. And as Bucks fans, we only get 16 of them. 16 of them. And that's it. You know, you get 162 of them in baseball. You get 82 of them if you're a Lightning fan. Plus all the playoff games. I mean, you know, it's not a scarce resource. Football is a scarce resource, and it is a precious resource. So no matter how bad my teams are doing or have done, and no matter how bad I think they're going to do, and I am not exactly on the playoff bandwagon anymore, as most of you probably are not either at 2-5, it really doesn't matter because we get those 16 Sundays. And I'm, listen, the day that I don't get up for a Bucks game and just put it on, at the very least put it on, okay, while I'm doing stuff around the house or whatever, is the day, I don't even want to think about that day. I hope that day never comes. I hope that, until I'm dead at least, that day never exists. So the Bucks have 9 games left, and maybe they'll go 7-2 in those 9 games. Maybe they'll surprise us all, but even if they don't, think about the middle of April. Think about the middle of May or June. You know, think about those long spring months where there ain't nothing. This isn't just about the Bucks. Sometimes same thing with like these Maction games they have on the weeknights from the MAC or the Fun Belt. You know, it's like some random Tuesday night and Louisiana Lafayette's playing Arkansas State, and you're flipping around like, what the hell is this? You know, like why is this on? Hey, it sounds pretty damn good when you get into March. And there ain't nothing going on. I mean, you got March Madness. But my point is, football's miles away. And all of a sudden, you'll take a Maction game between Western Michigan and Ohio U on a Wednesday night in front of like 10,000 people, and it's raining and sleeting and just generally depressing. You'll crawl for it through the dirt and the mud you would just to get to it. Same thing with Buck football. It hasn't been great football so far. Carolina game this past Sunday was terrible. I wouldn't want to watch that again. Except I would in a few months when there's nothing else, and I'm wishing. Because football can move you, to me at least, it can move you like nothing else. And I love a lot of sports. I'm a football guy. Football's my favorite sport, but I love baseball, I love hockey, I love horse racing, I love golf. I don't enjoy the NBA, but I do like the game of basketball. Play it all the time, watch college basketball. I love all these sports, all right? But nothing does it like football does it. Just walking into a game at any level. The other night I was at a high school game over at Chamberlain High School. I do the PA. And, you know, there's a few hundred people there. It's your typical high school game. And I took my son with me, you know, up in the press box to do the microphone. And we're walking in, and we kind of walked in about 15 minutes before the game. And it was the same time the band was walking in. And all the kids walk by in their band uniforms, and they're playing their walk-in song, and they're beating the drums. And, I mean, the goosebumps pop off my arms. No other sport is like that. No other sport is like that. And I was thinking, I mean, man, high school football season's already, this is the end of the regular season this week. They're starting their playoffs. College, we're entering November. I mean, this is the final full month of the regular season in college. It's like your children. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, I already lost them. They're already gone. They're already halfway to middle school, halfway to college. So take a deep breath. Let's have some fun this weekend. Bucks go to the Superdome. Always, hey, it'll always be the first place they ever won a football game in this franchise back in 1977. Two best quarterbacks in the league are like Tom Brady and Drew Brees somehow. Age not an issue. And if you subscribe to the TB12 method, I'll talk about that in another podcast. I'm not going to do it now, but I want to talk. There was that article on ESPN this week about the TB12 method and this, you know, the personal guru Brady has, and you know how he claims he's been able to play for as long as he has and be as good as he has. I mean, others have done it too. Brees is doing it right now. Brett Favre did it. So it's not just Brady, but, you know, he's got what he calls the TB12 method. And it involves, like, bands, stretching, very little weightlifting, muscle pliability, electrolyte, water. A lot of it makes sense, and a lot of it kind of ranges into what some people might say kook territory. I haven't read the book yet, and I want to. Point is, the Saints can still play a little bit. And yet they have a defense that, as I've said for a few other games so far this year, you know, the Buccaneers should be able to exploit. And I always look at the records of teams. This is one of my little personal methods, and I'm hardly a handicapping guru, so take it for what it's worth. But, you know, when I look at the standings, when I'm picking the games for an upcoming week, I see, oh, hey, Saints are 5-2. Do they seem like a 6-2 team or a 5-3 team? I mean, they really feel like more of a 5-3 team than a 6-2 team, right? I mean, they're not this good. Or 4-2, whatever they are, if they have the bye week or not. And then the Bucks. Bucks are 2-5. Do they feel like a 2-6 team or a 3-5 team? I mean, I know they haven't been good, but they really, really don't feel like a 2-6 team. Don't they feel like more of a 3-5 team? So again, how I think teams feel like they should be is hardly the deciding factor in how good they actually are, but yeah, this feels like things are going to kind of regress to the mean. A little positive regression this week, to use a sabermetric term. Saints have been too hot for too long. Bucks have been too down for too long. I think it evens up this week. I think the Bucks win. I think the offense gets going under the dome. Of course, all this is contingent upon Jameis' shoulder feeling better. He's been practicing, says it's better to just be out there at practice, and you know, hopefully that makes a difference. In the meantime, thank you to the Joes for hosting this podcast, as always. Every Thursday it comes out. Thanks to the Dunedin Pirates. Hey, we got our first practice in helmets tonight under head coach Ernest Givens. Go to DunedinPirates.com if you want to check the team out. If you want to play football, this is real football that I still play at age 37, and I ain't on no TB12 method yet, all right? I make myself a couple of smoothies, and I foam roll. That's my BGD 37 method. Come get some if you want. Seriously, you can come out to the field and hit me within a week if you want to. DunedinPirates.com. Check it out. Email me if you want, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. And as always, I love the Twitter exchanges. Don't be afraid. @BobbyGameDay is my Twitter handle. That is the free stretch for Week 9. We'll be back next week, hopefully feeling a little more positive than we did this week. Either way, wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.